Psalms 137, these are very familiar verses. Verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered the Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willow in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I ask you right now to anoint your word as well as your messenger. Give me words to speak, Lord, words of life. Let me deliver your heart and your spirit, Lord, in this message to encourage your people, to stir our hearts and souls, and to let us look to you once again to bring the refreshing, to bring the life, to bring the rain that we've already sung about. Lord, we're looking to you to do what we cannot do. We need you desperately today, Lord, that every person be touched and encouraged. And I pray right now for every man, woman, and child that is in this house, those that are watching or listening, Lord, that you touch them, stir them, that you move them with your spirit, that you help us, Lord, to have that revival in our hearts and souls that we desperately need. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Simple title, lengthy but simple. Don't lose your song when things go wrong. Don't lose your song when things go wrong. How easy is that to do sometimes? You know, I read a little bit about history of the church. I can find out right here in the United States, there was a day that the Baptists, the Methodists, the Nazarenes, and the Pentecostals, all of them, and all the rest of those churches that really believe that the only way to be saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I could read about revivals they had and times they had when the Spirit of God would move and they would run and shout and dance and praise God, and there was nothing foolish about it. Oh, listen, always when you have a real something, you're going to have a counterfeit. That's the way the devil works. So you can't measure everything by the counterfeit. You can't stop doing something because somebody else is counterfeiting doing it. Well, we'd be a wreck. We'd be just switching and swapping everything we do all the time if we just quit doing something because somebody else is doing it. We just think it's real. So, you know, there is a real shout. There's a real song. There's a real praise. There's a real dance that is spiritually motivated. It doesn't bring promotion to the flesh. And there was a day that you could read about. You know, most of us, you know, Pentecostal folks, we just come out of something that was either Baptist or Methodist or something like that. We come out of some of that. You know, because pretty much all of us started out about the same way back many years ago. And so, you know, people loved God. They didn't have a lot of things to depend on. They didn't have doctors as much. They didn't have the big, helicopter to pick you up if you're sick. They didn't have the big hospital. They didn't have insurance. What they had was God. What they had was real. When they were in trouble, you had a heart attack out there plowing the field behind the mule. If somebody seen you, they gathered around and prayed for you. What else could they do? I mean, they didn't have a mule locally. That was an ambulance. I mean, it was out there hooked to something. So you got to get a hold of God or you died or something like that. You know, something rough. And so people believed in God with all of their heart because they seen he was real in their daily walk with the Lord. It wasn't just something they done on Sunday. It was something they done Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, from morning till evening, and even during the night. Their life for the Lord was real because he showed himself to them in a real way. And so the early church, and I say early church, I'm talking about early United States. We know the early church in the New Testament was a church of song and praise and dance and shout and speaking in other tongues. There's a lot that went on then, but even in the early stages of the United States, the Church of America that Jesus Christ birthed here, I want to tell you, it was a real church and a pure church, and God used that church that we are a branch from. We're a product of that. He used that church to absolutely touch this world, and he wants to continue to use such a church. Unfortunately, there's just not as much of that remnant left as there once was. Things have scattered. People's minds, their hearts, their ideas have scattered, and now we see that people were in a rush. You stand in front of a microwave and scream, hurry up, to a microwave. Can you imagine? And then we go through the fast food drive-thru, and if the food takes more than 3 minutes, we're mad at everybody, and we think, my goodness, I ain't coming back to this never quick enough. We're angry because we get in a traffic jam or the light hits or something of that nature. Why? Because it's become our mentality of society. The devil knows that if he can get the world, and especially the church, so busy that it doesn't have time to meditate on God, it doesn't have time to focus on what the Lord is doing, then he can absolutely move us away from God's initial plan, and we become an ineffective tool in God's hands because of our own will, our own desire, our own drive, our own ambition. And voila, here we are. Well, I'm going to tell you, in doing so, we still want to be spiritual. We still want to be spiritual people because we're saved and we believe in Jesus. And so we've swapped a lot of stuff out. Now, our praise, our worship, our dance, our shout has become almost completely man-made. Not all, but mostly what you see, especially out in more of the secular realms of the church. It's become more of a man-made thing. I remember back in the 70s that they started doing the Russian deal. I can't do it now. It's all down. But you know, they get down and do the, you know, they do this, and then have everybody do it at the same time. You know, all right, get up, and all right, we're all going to, you know, woo, well, they just do their business, you know. And then pretty soon, then you've seen the ballerinas come in. Now, my wife, she got into that for a while. She was visiting a church, and she was visiting a church, and so while she was there, they went to hear a guy that was very famous, still is, Benny Hinn. They went there to hear him, but back in his earlier days, you know, you still kind of weigh people out. Thought this guy was pretty good. And so anyway, being there, hey, all of a sudden, music changed a little bit, and she was with another lady named Cindy. They got to looking around, and here come these screamers and ballerinas. You know, I say ballerinas, screamers and ballerinas, you know, and they come in, and they're twirling, and they're screaming, and they're, you know, and the ballerina and whatever it is they do. And she was scared of that. She thought God was going to kill them all. And so, you know, I thought that was horrible. And so, you know, all that going on and people just doing things. Well, see, a lot of that has become, let's do this because we don't have the genuine praise and shout anymore. We've got to come up with something to keep this thing going to draw the crowd. And so, then along the way you had the power team. They got involved, and they're blowing up hot water bottles and busting bricks with their heads and breaking baseball bats and doing so, they're drawing a crowd. And then in the midst of all of that flesh, wearing their muscle shirts and showing their big muscles and running around and doing stuff like that, in the midst of that, they would preach a little bit about Jesus. And of course, hey, to most of the church, they don't want to talk about Jesus. It's a good thing. And in doing all those different acrobats and whatnot, the church began to lean on the arm of the flesh instead of the arm of God. Brother Dan read this morning about how that when God's people gets in that place to where they know that he's their only help, he's their only strength, and they're looking to him and they're calling on him, and the devil's coming against the people of God, and the world is coming against them, God gets angry and he comes down. What to do? He makes bare his mighty arm. He shows up. He does the work. See, the Bible teaches us clearly, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God is the one that needs to move among us. God is the one that needs to bring the life, the liberty, the freedom. He's the one that breaks the chains, not me. Amen. He's the one that sets the captive free, not us. It's the gospel that Jesus gives us to share, and it's the life of Christ through us that gets the job done. But it's always God that does it, and it's always God that is to get the glory for it. And when men begin to get glory, and you start saying, boy, wasn't he an awesome preacher? Man, isn't he an awesome singer? Why aren't they awesome? Wasn't that cool? You know, and I understand, you know, there's a lot of things that are neat, and yet, is it truly what God would have done? If Jesus would have been here, would he have operated that way? Because here's the bottom line. When this thing crumbles and falls apart around us, and if the rapture does not take place, and we're still here, will we do the same thing when all the struggles and troubles are going on in the world, and there's no way you got gas to drive across town, you don't have money, Walmart shut down, there's no groceries there, you ain't got a milk cow, and the milk truck ain't delivered, and you're struggling to know where your next meal comes from, will you still do all those calisthenics? Will you still go see the boys blow up the hot water bottles? Bust the bats and break the bricks. We still go out to see somebody play with their timbre, you know, with their ballerina business. Are you going to do that? I venture to say no. You're going to be looking for the real move of God. years ago, and Brother Clinton, I think it was, that preached the message on will the real Holy Ghost please stand up. We're in an hour when there's so much deception, so much struggle, so much trouble going on, it's hard to recognize the real from the false because the false is so smooth, so, you know, the devil has learned how to mimic the church to such a degree that so many people cannot tell the difference between whether it's the flesh or the spirit. That's a natural for this day, but that's not the plan of God. God wants to give his people discernment. He wants to give us strength. He wants to give us understanding for this hour. Amen. I believe with all my heart that God is still real. He's still moving. He can still bless, touch, heal, deliver, and set his people free. And he's still looking for people that are wanting the real thing. The real thing. Amen. I believe, I do believe that the Lord has encouraged Brother Mick about helping to restore that message of Pentecost. I'm thinking about that this morning, Brother Mick. How desperate we are for a real move of the Holy Ghost that absolutely eliminates the question in anybody's mind that is being honest with God, where you know that the Holy Ghost is moved, where there is notable miracles taking place, not for man to be glorified, but that God can be and would be glorified. That is what he desires to do. Amen. Something's changed with the church. What is it? What's happened? Where did we lose our song? Where did we lose our drive, our desire? Sometimes we think that that the only time that we can...
I fear when the wonder of the earth got a most, got a most glorious sight. Will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very bright. Ding, ding, Galileo.
Bleeding or bruised or beaten, and yet in the midst of all of that, they chose to sing a song at midnight. We have example after example of men and women of God that were willing to praise God even until the lions ate them, until the tigers tore them apart, or the gladiators cut them in two. They praised God, they sang anyway, because they were not motivated by circumstance, they were not motivated by the economy, they were totally motivated by and through the Spirit of God. This is the real Holy Ghost that the Church of Jesus Christ desperately needs to get back into the midst of itself these days. Amen. We read here that in the, let me read it again. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they said, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they answered, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And that's a lot of times that's what we end up doing. We say, oh, how can I sing a song now? How can I rejoice now? Don't you understand what I'm going through? Don't you understand what I've been feeling? Don't you understand the darkness and the gloom and the despair and the agony on me? Amen. You know, that's almost our theme song. Gloom, despair, agony on me, deep dark depression, excessive misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's not the song of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's not the song that the church in 2012 is to be singing, no matter how rough and tough things may be. God is able to give us a song in the night, a song of life and liberty, a song of hope and joy, a song that brings a change in the atmosphere we're in. Amen. Here's what they said. By the rivers of Babylon. Where is this place, Babylon? Well, physically we know, we understand where that place was, at least basically. But in the Old Testament, with the Old Testament church, we found that the church itself ended up in Babylon when it began to focus on itself and on the things of the world instead of the things of God. And in doing so, they become more interested in promoting themselves, more interested in what I can get, what I can have, how I can be blessed. Oh, you know, now that old worship of Jehovah, that's holding me back. That's hindering me. That's slowing me down. I need something a whole lot more hip and upbeat. And so along comes the right people. singing the right kind of song. We found that with Elijah down there when he went up on that Mount Carmel there with all those prophets of Baal and all the people of God. Why were they there? Simply because God had come to a point, he's going, make a line in the sand. It's time to make a decision. Why halt ye between two decisions or two opinions or two things? You're going to have to make a decision. If God be God, serve him. But if Baal be God, serve him. But don't be trying to do both. And that's where the world, that's where the church has come today, to a place that is trying to do both. We want Jesus Christ, but we want all the things of the world with it. Nothing's wrong anymore. There is no sin. There is no wonder then this idea of once in grace, always in grace is such a popular thing for this hour. And it's not just one group doing that. There's several now, and I've watched it. Talked to a guy this week that said, Brother Jeff, that stuff has crept into the Pentecostal Holiness Church like you wouldn't believe. He began to describe to me a lot of this idea, you know, of what's going on and things that are being taught in the Pentecostal Church. You know, we claim a whole lot, don't we? Amen. The Pentecostal Church is beginning to embrace the same ideas. Oh, this and all that stuff you old folks used to talk about, that old school. And I understand maybe it was a lot of things. You know, we strained at some gnats and swallowed a few camels. But I can tell you this, for the most part, when you start talking about living a godly life that pleases the Lord, better be careful how you go knocking on that. Amen. We still got to live a godly life and please the Lord. And that's where we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. How do you do that? In the altar, being honest and open before God. That's when you kneel down and you say, open, Lord God, if there's anything in my life that don't please you, I'll get rid of it, Lord. I'll change it. I'll do it. Why? Because I love God, not because necessarily the preacher said or this one said or that one said. Because I want to please God. When was the last time your sole motivation for getting up in the morning and doing what you was doing was simply to please the Lord? And people that are constantly trying to please him are people that are not afraid to hear what the Word of God says. They're not afraid to dig into the Word. They're not afraid to pray. They're not afraid to check themselves. They're not afraid to lay aside every weight and every sin. They're not afraid to do that. Why? Because their motivation is for God. Amen. Paul made it clear to Timothy, the soldier that wants to please the Lord is the soldier that doesn't want to be entangled with the affairs. Do you want to please him, or are you just scared of going to hell? Amen. Babylon was a place that the church ended up. The wilderness was a place the church would end up. Egypt was a place the church would end up when it got away from doing the work and the will of God. It is a place for backsliders. It is a place for those that are lukewarm. It is a place for those that are indifferent. It is a place there that the person finds themselves in a situation that they wish they were not in. And yet so many times, strong opinions, we call it stubbornness and different things, will cause us to not be willing to admit that we're in the wrong place. Not willing to admit, oh, I'm not going to admit that's wrong. I've been doing that too long. I've been justifying it too long. I can't say that's wrong now. You better be careful. God is the one that matters. The Bible said, and there in Babylon, there we sat down. In Babylon is where you will find yourself sitting. Remember, Brother Mick talked about it here not long ago. Psalms 1, verse 1. Listen, this is the digression of a backslider that once knew God and goes away. There it is. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of them. Now this is all right, I'm gonna tell, but listen to what's happening. Do the opposite of what's doing the Lord's back to tell. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of them, nor standeth in the way of sin, nor sitteth in the way of the scornful. If God is not your delight, and he is not number one in your life, and you're only going through religious formats and routines, simply to do a little whatever it is you're doing, then you find out you will in the counsel of the ungodly. You will then quit your walking and start standing in the way of sinners, and eventually you will sit in the seat of the devil. And here we see what happened. They found themselves in Babylon. There we sat down. Not in the church, not in the will of God, but there in Babylon we sat down. We become idle. We become ineffective. We become unmoved by God and unable to move before God. And that's what God's calling us to have a positive effect on those around us, to lead them to Jesus Christ. There's no other reason for our lives as Christians except to lead people to Jesus Christ. Amen. The third thing that takes place, we wept. Weeping is just one of the many sorrowful products that that come from getting away or getting out of the will of God. Weeping is just one of many things. There's misery, there's sorrow, there's pain, there's suffering. There's a lot of things that happen when you get away from God and get away from His will and hear out of the will of God. They begin to weep. A lot different, Mr. Somebody. I'd rather laugh at the sinners than die with the saints guy. Whatever his name was. That's what he said. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than to cry with the saints. He didn't understand our crying. True saints of God that are born again. Yeah, we'll weep along with anybody else that loses a loved one or something like that. But the rest of that weeping is because we either weep for joy or we weep for the souls of the lost. That's a lot different than weeping out there because everybody's left you like a prodigal son that's been all that he's had. He's in the hog pen. Nobody loves him. Nobody cares about him. He wept too. There's repercussions for being out of the will of God. It only lasts so long of joy and fun and peace until pretty soon you start weeping. And it says, when we remembered dying. They were weeping because they remembered dying. They remembered what they had. Listen to what Dave said here in Psalms 42 and 4. When I remembered these things, I poured out my soul in me, for I had gone. Now he's remembering, I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holiday. Oh, I remember what it was to go to church. I remember what it was when the preacher preached, and I just ran to the altar and prayed and sought God. I remember what it was to sing the songs of Zion and rejoice. And it didn't matter how wonderful whether we was in key or not. It didn't matter what style it was. It was just the fact that I loved God and I remember what it was like. And they wept because they could remember that. They wept because they remembered that. Amen. It's not a down on this. It's just one expression. It would get better. Amen. They remember. We need to remember some things. Jesus made it clear in Revelation 2 and 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Oh, he doesn't want you to remember just so you can sit around in the mully grub so he can rub a little salt in your wound. Jesus don't work that way. The devil does. That's the way the devil works. The devil wants to get you down. He wants to find your weak spot or your wound, and he wants to rub salt in it. He wants to hurt you. I had a friend. And if I got hurt, breaking horses, you get hurt. And I'd get hurt every once in a while. Maybe run into a tree with an old runaway or something, bust a knuckle, and have a wound, or a splinter. Maybe get out of the splinter. And I'd say, oh man, that's hurt. That's the key of getting your song back. That's the key of getting your joy back. That's the key of getting your dance back. That's the key of getting your shout back. That's the key of getting a church back on fire, is remembering, repenting, calling on God, returning to that place that we once were, where we knew God was in our life. It's a no-brainer, folks. Even that's easy. We can do that. This is something we can do. This is, we hang our hearts upon the will. It is never God's will for us to give up our song of joy. Never. Never God's will for us to give up our song of joy. Ours is not a tear in the beer. It's not a somebody done somebody wrong song. It's not I'm on the highway to hell. Those are not our songs. We don't pat our foot to that trash. We don't think about those things. Our motive and our desire is for the Lord. And when it's true and it's pure, I can assure you God will never take this off. This is what Brother Big read a while ago. It brought me up out of that horrible pit. Set my feet on a rock and say, gave me a new song. Hallelujah. If anyone should have a right to sing it, it ought to be with it. We've got the right things to sing about. Look what else they said. They that carried us away captive required of us a song, saying, sing us one of the songs of God. The enemy was saying, did you see that? A lot of different things you say, maybe, what's going on there. Don't you think the devil was saying, can you sing now? It was him. It was the devil that worked on leading them away. It was the devil that offered them all these other things to do. Here, worship God this way. Here, a sacrifice this way. Here, you don't have to be so clean and pure. You don't have to do all those things. Just do it this way. Hang out with me. We're funner. We're more upbeat. We got it going on. Do it this way. And they did. And as they did, they found themselves away from God in a foreign land. Their song seemed to be gone. They hung their hearts up. They had no desire to go on. And then the devil, after leading them that far, says, hey, good God, stay here. He said, now, sing your song. He never quits kicking you when you're down, folks. He doesn't love you. The devil doesn't love you. He gets you down. He kicks you while you're down. He stomps you while you're down. If that ain't enough, he laughs at you. He mocks at you. And then when he's done with that, he looks at God and laughs at him and says, look. Look what you done. This what you died for, Jesus? This is what you sacrificed? We don't want to sacrifice nothing anymore to serve God. Jesus sacrificed everything. God gave everything for our salvation. We don't want to sacrifice nothing. We don't want to give up nothing. We don't want to change. We don't want to sacrifice nowhere. Oh, but Jesus gave it all. And the devil knows that. And he says, look, that's what you died for. Ha, ha, ha. Sing your song now. Let's hear what you got to say. They answered, how shall we sing? The Lord's song is strange. By returning to the Lord, calling on His name. Amen. There's only one way to do it. It's to spiritually turn back to God. With all your heart, your mind, your soul, your body. Psalms chapter 30, verse 1, listen. I will extol thee, O Lord. This is David. He's calling on the Lord. He's making his way back to God. He's trying to get things right. You ever need to get things right? Buddy, I have. I've had to get things right. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. See, you love it when the devil laughs over you. Listen, David said, oh man, I'm getting some victory back. I'm getting my song back. I'm getting some things going my way. He said, you've lifted me up and hast not made my foes, my enemies, to rejoice over me. God doesn't want the devil laughing over you. God hates that. Brother Dan read it a while ago. God gets angry with the devil. He gets angry with people that try to hurt you. Oh, the Bible makes it clear. I'd be better a millstone be tied about your neck. You cast into that ocean than to offend one of the least of God's people. God loves you. And He hates the devil. He doesn't want the devil rejoicing over you. Verse 2 says, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Hallelujah. Oh, he healed my heart. He healed my mind, healed my soul, healed my body. God's the healer. He's the one. If you need help, call on him this morning. Hallelujah. He's able to bring restoration to your life, to your church, to your family. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Oh, Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Hallelujah. Thou hast kept me alive. The devil don't want to keep you alive, but God wants to keep you alive this morning. Brought me up. Hallelujah. There you go, Brother Mick. Done it again. Brought me up. Woo! Out of the grave. And kept me alive. Why? That I should not go down into the pit. God didn't design you for the pit. He didn't design you for hell. He didn't design you for the grave. He didn't design you for death. He designed you to live and live life more abundantly. Hallelujah. I'm feeling good about this. I think I'm getting some help here. Woo! Oh, what is he saying? Verse 4 says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints. Hey, that's what we've been doing this morning. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Listen, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, God's able to give us a song in the night. God's able to restore the joy, the fire, the zeal, the hunger. I remember when we used to, if you had testimony service, it was pandemonium. You say, anybody got a testimony? I mean, you couldn't hardly get none of that out. So three or four was jumping up. They were coming up from every angle and direction. They thought the greatest thing they could say was, God save me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and sanctify me. Hallelujah. Hey, I want to tell you, still the greatest thing that you can say. We act like that's nothing now. It's everything. Hallelujah. When we have testimony services, you ought to come out of there like wildcats. Hallelujah. God save me. Help me. Heal me. Deliver me. Give you testimony, man. Don't be ashamed of what God has done. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endures but for a moment, and his favor, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, I want to tell you. You lost everything you had. You said
I did. No worries. Okay.
Remember your dad's life? Okay. Heartbroken. Turned home. Went back. They say for many days, maybe even months, he struggled. Not knowing what to do with himself, blaming himself, going through the things that any person would go through trying to make it.
Oh, yeah, he's going to have to take a tail bag.
Finally, after many days, Luther Bridges, I'm pretty sure that's his name, he said, I gotta go back out to the home. He gotta go deal with it. He went out to the home place. Nothing there but ashes. Nothing left of it. Just ashes. While he walked around there, looking at all that, not really worried much about the stuff, thinking about his wife, his child, over there. And he's breaking down, he's weeping, crying. Struggling. But there in that ash, there in that horrible pain, in that situation, the Lord showed up to get to visit with him. Reminded him of Job's trial. Job, Luther, as he walked through those ashes, he'd been off preaching to revival. He'd been reaching out for souls to be saved, doing the work of God. Now he walks through the ashes. Thinks about his wife and his child, all that he had gone. The words of Job come to his mind. Warned him. And the Lord takes him away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. While he stood there in that ash, struggled with it all, God began to deal with him, and believe it or not, the Lord began to give him a song. Luke began to write. He wrote these words. There's within my heart a melody Jesus whispers, sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every moment. Keeps me singing as I go. Oh, all my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus kept a cross. Jesus swept a cross the broken string. Stirring. Slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. And on the song goes. That's on page 125 in your dream book. Amen. Luther, he learned that in every situation, you don't have to lose your song when things go wrong. Today, folks, in the midst of everything that's going on around us, all the troubles that we're facing, we don't have to leave the song. Things go wrong. We don't have to give up. We don't have to give in. We don't have to turn back. We just need to focus on Jesus. Keep running to him. Keep walking to him. Keep making your way to him. Paul said, I set my eyes on that prize. I'm not turning around or giving up. Let's stand this morning. Oh, Jesus loves you. Cares about you. He's so able. So able to bring restoration to you. He gives you your song back. He gives you your joy back. He gives you your victory. Amen. He can give you a dance. It's not some little cheap deal. He can give you a real dance, a real shout, a real song of victory. Because he loves you. Because that's what he wants to do to you. Because he cares. You hear this morning, you got struggles in your life. Maybe you're not saved. You're not where you should be. Oh, you. You can come to Jesus this morning. His arms are open. He's reaching for you because he cares about you. You're here this morning. Maybe you're not where you should be with the Lord. You let things come between you and him. Please come running to Jesus. Please come running to Jesus. Saints of God.